Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Dear friends, it is true, isn't it? When something is well known by us, we can be neglectful of paying due attention to it. How true this is also when focusing on the glorious tidings of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. We know this gospel truth. You've heard it often. Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross, arose again 3 days later. When the women went to the tomb early Sunday morning, after that Friday that Jesus died on the cross and his corpse was placed in a tomb, when they went to the tomb to pay their last respects Sunday morning to Jesus' body, oh, what a surprise they met with! They found an empty tomb. They heard the message of the angel, as stated in Matthew 28:6, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Being so familiar to this gospel fact, it can become difficult for us to imagine it as first made known also on that initial Easter Sunday about 2,000 years ago now. But how important, dear friends, that we hear and grasp this gospel truth, and that you and I believe it and live out of it and by it every day afresh. Jesus lives. There is no more wonderful and dramatic turnaround news as the gospel tidings of Jesus Christ crucified and then risen again, as he said he would. The gospel accounts tell us the Sunday Jesus arose, then also at least two angels came down from heaven, one of whom flung up and away that heavy stone from out of its groove in front of the tomb, so that it laid flat in the grass, that stone, some feet away from the grave. We are told in Matthew 28:2, one angel sat on that rolled away stone. Well, let us, for this gospel message, imagine ourselves sitting a while on that rolled away large flat stone in front of the tomb. Sitting on that large stone thrown from the tomb by the angel from heaven and looking at that empty tomb where Jesus' corpse had been. Let us focus on a number of solid gospel points about Jesus as the risen Savior of sinners. With the scriptures as the basis of all our reflection and application now, our theme is the tremendous gospel truth. Jesus is risen from the dead, as he said. Let's first think about what unbelievable good news this was when first made known. All four Gospels bring this out, surely, how Jesus' resurrection from the dead was something so unexpected and so unbelievable at first to all the disciples and followers of Jesus. Unbelievable, that is, in the sense of all just sounding too good to be true, too great to be real. As we read in Mark 16:11, when Mary Magdalene discovered Jesus was alive, as he said, and he had appeared to her, and she went to tell the disciples as they mourned and wept, we are told, they believed her not. Luke states in Luke 23:11, that when the women went to tell the disciples, Jesus had risen from the dead, as he said, and then he had met with them too, and they went to tell the disciples, their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So we read in Mark 16:14, when Jesus himself appeared as resurrected Savior to the 11 in the upper room, that he, quote, upbraided or admonished them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them who had seen him after he was risen. We can see that it was unbelievable, for indeed it is something supernatural that Jesus rose from the dead. Only God can raise the dead. In Jesus' earthly ministry, there were at least three people, we are told about, who were raised from the dead by him, so that we know Resurrection power is indeed found in him, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Think of the widow son of Nain, and the daughter of Jairus, and then Lazarus, all raised from the dead by Jesus, as told in Luke chapter 7, Mark chapter 5, and John chapter 11. Yes, but these supernatural wonders are still, humanly speaking, unbelievable, aren't they? Indeed. Sometimes today we hear of people who say they have power to raise the dead, and we naturally and rightly do not believe them. For no one can raise the dead. But you see, Jesus, he can, because Jesus is God come in the flesh. And he himself said, as we read in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. Yes, that is all true. However, can't we all identify with the disciples and followers of Jesus that first Easter Sunday morning when they just couldn't believe the astonishingly good news that Jesus had risen from the grave as he said he would? Are you today truly trusting and believing Jesus arose from the dead as he said? It was such unbelievable good news that Jesus arose from the dead, and that he lives as risen and exalted Savior. And yet, don't we have to say too, how understandable really, that Jesus arose from the dead. Yes, that's our second reflection now, as we sit on that stone before that empty tomb, as it were. Think of it. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, he would have proved a liar, for he said he would rise the third day. Yes, he had told his disciples that he would rise from the dead several times even before his crucifixion. For example, in Matthew 16:21, 17:23, and 20 verse 19, and elsewhere as well. And it's understandable if you think it through, Jesus' resurrection from the dead. For as Paul says in Acts 26 verse 8, why should anyone think it incredible for God to raise the dead? God triune is almighty. And with him, nothing is impossible, and all is possible. Scripture shows God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, each and all involved in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Romans 10 verse 9, John 10, 18, and Romans 8, 11. Understandably, too, Jesus arose as he said, for God had promised he would honor his son's salvation work on sinners' behalf. If Jesus had remained in the grave, it would be like his salvation work was incomplete and not successful, not pleasing to the Father. But the Bible tells us, even when Jesus breathed his last, or God already with an earthquake had graves being opened and people rising from the dead, though they didn't come out till after Jesus' resurrection. We read about this in Matthew 27, verse 52 to 53. Jesus' resurrection from the grave was like God's amen to Jesus' word from the cross, it is finished. Jesus had to arise from the dead also to administer and apply now by his spirit and word the redemption from sin he accomplished on behalf of sinners. Jesus' resurrection proclaims to us Jesus is the complete and sure and infinitely reliable Savior of sinners. What Christ Jesus accomplished on the cross, he will also minister to his people by his Spirit, causing sinners to hear his voice and to trust and follow him. Jesus' resurrection from the grave was so unbelievable from our perspective, and yet, from God's side, oh, it's something so understandable. Do you see this with me? Surely the disciples, we can say, should have been expecting it even, Jesus' resurrection. They should have been waiting by the tomb for his resurrection from the dead. But as we know, they were blind to so much still that Jesus had foretold to them and understood yet so little of all Jesus' glorious person and perfect saving work on behalf of sinners. To really understand all these things, we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? To reveal to us and to make plain to us dull sinners by nature, or we will never understand the gospel of Christ crucified and risen again. In this regard, how wonderful to consider how Jesus so reached out to his struggling, doubting disciples, making on that first Easter Sunday even five actual resurrection appearances to his followers. The Savior, we are told in Acts 1, verse 3, as we studied last Sunday, showed himself as risen Savior indeed, with many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days before his ascension. The Bible tells us of at least 11 resurrection appearances, and who knows how many more there likely were. But we are told plenty, and the purpose is that all who read and hear about Jesus risen from the dead, as he said, also trust and believe in him as only Savior and Lord. Is that what you are doing too, dear friends, each one listening now to this broadcast? As Christian Church, believing God's holy word and realizing the perfectness of Jesus' suffering and death as Savior of sinners, we know it only makes sense that Jesus also would rise from the dead. Jesus paid the full wages for sin, including suffering the penalty of death. And with his perfect payment for sin and complete suffering of all the righteous wrath and punishment of God for sin in the sinner's place, oh, it surely is only reasonable and right that Jesus also would rise from the dead, as he said. In his Pentecost sermon in Acts 2:24, Peter actually states this, how Jesus' resurrection had to happen. He says there of Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, quote, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. No, for Christ made full atonement for sin, and his resurrection from the dead was promised him as key part also of Jesus' full reward with the salvation of all the elect people through his work of redemption and once for all sacrifice for sin. Jesus' resurrection from the dead is understandable, so much so that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15 emphatically that if Jesus did not rise, then the whole Christian faith is false and vain. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then also they who are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only, he says, we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Though truly the whole Christian gospel and trust depends also on this historical fact of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, and you and I trusting him as crucified and risen Savior. We have to say even that in every way it is more probable that Jesus arose from the dead than that he would remain dead in the grave. And Jesus being God also, there is no doubt or question of the fact of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Do you too confess this as so reasonable, logical truth, though most astonishing, wonderful Christian gospel teaching indeed? The reality is that Jesus' resurrection just so proves the reliability of the Christian faith, and really, you could say, the uniqueness of the Christian gospel. This is our third point, in fact, now, how Jesus' resurrection from the dead proves the Christian religion not to be one of many religions, but actually the one only true and everlastingly hopeful religion. Every religion of man's making serves and worships either lifeless idols or non-existent fantasies or dead and ever breathless, unresponsive people from long ago. They're all false religions. But in the Christian faith, we are called to trust and follow a living Savior God. Our confidence in the Christian faith is in the divinely given gospel word from heaven above that is proclaiming to us the God-sent, God-approved Savior of sinners, who is almighty over against sin, Satan, death, and hell, and mighty to save even the chief of sinners who trusts and follows him. Jesus Christ, who was crucified and then rose again, dear friends, is the one and only Savior of sinners. And while he died for his people's sins, he also rose for their justification and eternal reconciliation and enjoyment of God in the new heavens and earth to come. No wonder Paul wrote to Timothy in his parting words to him, as he was soon to be martyred for the faith by Emperor Nero. Well, we read in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8, Remember, Timothy, that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead, according to my gospel. You see, Jesus' resurrection from the dead makes all the difference to the Christian faith and message. It makes the Christian faith unique and wonderful beyond words, so infinitely trustworthy and reliable indeed. Jesus is risen from the dead, as he said. And this is the great good news for whoever has ears to hear, as Paul states in Romans 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe it in your heart, dear friends? When you do, you will agree also with our next point, thinking how useful is the doctrine of Christ as resurrected Savior. How is this gospel teaching about Christ risen most useful, that is, ever profitable and blessed gospel tidings indeed? As you sit still on that flat, rolled-away stone before that empty tomb of Jesus, so to speak, what does Jesus as resurrected Savior promise for us in all our needs? Here, think of him in his resurrection appearances. What did he make known and promise so clearly through his person and work as living, almighty Savior of sinners to those who first discovered Jesus had risen as he said? Did Jesus not promise forgiveness of sins even to the likes of Peter, when Peter confessed with sorrow and repentance his sins to him, even as shamefully and cowardly denying Jesus three times with cursing? Jesus showed Peter, we may be sure, his finished work with his nail-pierced hands and feet, and how Christ lives now ever to administer his saving grace and help in all our needs. Consider here Paul's gospel words too in Romans 8, verse 34, where he writes, "Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at God's right hand, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Think here too of what Jesus said in his first words as resurrected Savior to Mary Magdalene, "Woman, why weepest thou?" You see how all cause for hopeless weeping and despairing grief is removed now with Christ, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners, with him as your refuge and strength. What victory over all sin and grief and sorrow and trouble is found for us in and with Christ, the crucified and risen Savior, when trusting and following him. There need be no hopeless, helpless situations for us ever again with Jesus as resurrected Savior, making an exit for us even from the grave, yes, for sinners like us, as many as repent and believe. Never either do we need to be thinking we are all alone in life or in death, with Jesus having risen from the dead, with him having promised to his disciples as resurrected Savior, as he does to all his people, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Think of Jesus also as resurrected Savior, promising peace to his people, and going out of his way to give doubting Thomas faith and assurance of faith in him as crucified and now risen Savior of sinners. Think too of how the Lord Jesus also guarantees escape from death through his finished work. With Christ and him crucified and risen again, we find the death of death. So Jesus also states in John 11, 25 to 26, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Oh yes, death still happens to God's people too. But when belonging to Christ, the death of a Christian is no more a punishment for sin, but an ending of all sin. And death serves as a passageway into eternal glory. For the Christian, death, though still a last enemy, it is a destroyed enemy and becomes like a glorious graduation from this miserable world to the wonderful sinless world beyond. How precious isn't this gospel treasure, really? Yes, considering the solemn reality of death in all our lives, and who knows when and where and how. Every week we hear of people dying, and in fact, in our fallen world, the statistics are that at least every second someone dies somewhere. And you ask, where now can there be found real deliverance from the curse and punishment of death and the solemn judgment of eternal death hereafter in hell? Well, we find it alone with Jesus, the Savior of sinners, Christ, the crucified and risen one. So Paul exclaims also in 1 Corinthians 15, those jubilant words, which is the Christian's comfort and joy. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What comfort, dear friends, to have security in life and death through Christ, the crucified and now living Savior, ever near us and always promising through him victory over all sin and evil and over Satan and over death and over hell. What comfort to know and believe, too, as the body breaks down and our minds fail us, yet in and through Christ, the risen Savior, God's people may be assured also of a glorious resurrection body one day, fashioned and patterned after Christ's glorious resurrection body, even as Paul mentions in Philippians 3:21. The gospel treasure and reality, so useful and beneficial for all who trust and follow Jesus Christ as only Savior and Lord, is so very great. What can the resurrected Savior not do for you and me that we most desperately need? The Bible promises no good thing God withholds from his people. And Jesus being the resurrected Savior, you may know he delights in mercy and he rejoices to bring comfort and help by his Spirit and Word in all our needs for soul and body, in life and death, for now and forevermore. Do you too, by God's grace, know and experience and show and testify how unbelievable on the one hand and how understandable at the same time and how unique and how useful is the gospel truth about Jesus and him crucified and now risen again, even forevermore? Most sadly, how many people, not just from the world, but even church people, live day by day and week after week, year by year, having no true thought of Christ and no genuine conscientious trust in the one and only gospel of Jesus Christ. How many have no conviction of sin and see no need of Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior of sinners? What about you, dear friends? Jesus calls you through this message to come to him, he who rose from the dead as he said he would, being the one and only triumphant Savior of sinners, indeed. To draw you to him for a first time or afresh, consider how useful, how profitable is the teaching of Christ Jesus as risen Savior in so many ways, more than can be mentioned. God's people living in faith and fellowship with their Savior, with the once crucified but now risen and ever exalted Christ as their refuge and strength, they may testify, as one did of old, giving the following precious testimony. Just listen to these beautiful, most comforting words as this person wrote. I know that my Redeemer lives. What comfort this sweet sentence gives. He lives, who once was dead. He lives, my ever-living head. He lives triumphant from the grave. He lives eternally to save. He lives all glorious in the sky. He lives exalted there on high. He lives to bless me with his love. He lives to plead for me above. He lives my hungry soul to feed. He lives to help in time of need. He lives to grant me fresh supply. He lives to guide me with his eye. He lives to comfort me when faint. He lives to hear my soul's complaint. He lives to silence all my fears. He lives to stop and wipe my tears. He lives to calm my troubled heart. He lives all blessings to impart. He lives, my kind, wise, heavenly friend. He lives and loves me to the end. He lives, and while he lives, I'll sing. He lives, my prophet, priest, and king. He lives and grants me daily breath. He lives, and I shall conquer death. He lives my mansion to prepare. He lives to bring me safely there. He lives, all glory to his name. He lives, my Jesus, still the same. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. You can't miss the point, can you, from these words? That clearly the teaching of Jesus, having risen from the dead, as he said, was not just dry doctrine to this person, but living, triumphant gospel truth that kept him going strong in faith and rejoicing in the Lord and as bright gospel witness in his day. I pray, God, this same is and will be true of you too, by God's grace and Spirit. This gospel truth about Jesus risen indeed is surely important and most urgent truth, our fifth and last point now, still sitting on that rolled-away stone. It is urgent, yes, isn't it? For when you read about the resurrection tidings of Jesus in the four Gospels, and then also in the writings of the Apostles, you learn about those who refuse to believe the gospel of Jesus Christ as crucified and risen Savior of sinners. How hopeless their lives became, and comfortless their deaths would be, and how terrible the eternity of all such. It is urgent that you seek the Lord now and trust and follow him as crucified and risen Savior of sinners today, for tomorrow could be too late. No one knows the day of their death. Are you ready to meet the Lord when he comes again? Unending are the blessings and benefits for soul and body when being joined to Christ in true faith, while unending are the sorrows and tragedies and punishments and weeping and gnashing of teeth should you live and die without Christ Jesus, the risen Savior, as your only Redeemer and Lord, here and now. Don't now receive this message then about Jesus risen indeed, as he said, just as idle tales. No, but pay attention to it as the living word of the living God with whom we each have to do. Okay, I guess we can come off the flat stone in front of the empty tomb of Jesus. Having sat on there in our minds a while, don't forget the gospel tidings of the risen Savior. Tidings so unbelievable on the one hand, and so understandable on the other hand, and tidings so unique, yes, and so useful, and very urgent. And this is all the case, not now because I say so, but because the Holy Bible says so. And you know, surely, you can count on the Bible being true. For yes, Jesus, the Word made flesh, the crucified Savior, is risen indeed. He is risen from the dead, as he said. Hallelujah. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the Internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.